so glad you decided to worship with us here at Crystal River Church of God Online, where we want you to find focus for living. You can also connect with us through Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, and make sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel for video messages. Now, an inspiring message from our lead pastor, Ronnie Reed.
I want to talk to you tonight about the battle of containment. A battle of containment, or the battle of containment. And our church is in a, I don't want to call it a weird state, it's just in a different state right now. And usually, as the so goes the people, so goes the church. And so goes the church, so goes the people. And if I'm feeling this in the church, then I probably believe that there are some people, and I believe that there are, that are battling this containment. And well, what is that, Pastor? I'm going to get into it here in a moment. But it's that battle that it seems like you can't move forward more than where you are right now. And where you are might not be a bad place, but it's still not the God place. And what the devil's hoping for is for you to settle for the good and not move on into the God. Does that make sense to you? And so I believe that there is a battle, whatever it may be, whether it be fatigue, whether it be just frustration, but I believe that there's a battle. And let's get into this. In the book of Romans chapter 7, verse number 18, I'm going to be reading from the New American Standard Bible, I believe. And why do you say I believe? Because I'm not sure if that's the one he put on there or not. But it says this, "For I know that nothing good dwells in me." Well, that's enough right there. Look at your neighbor and say, amen to that. Amen. Nothing good dwells in me, that is, in my flesh. For the willing is present in me, but the doing of the good is not. That's the story of my life every Monday when I want to get up and go run. It's in me to go run. But I just don't do it. You know, losing weight is in me. Last night, my wife left the meeting early. The ladies were done yesterday, and I rode back with the other pastors. And I get home, and, you know, I'm kind of feeling a little bloated. I lost some weight, I think, when we were up there working so hard. And so I got back. I've been eating everything in sight. And so I decided, okay, we stopped by Fred's. That's where the Holy Spirit goes after meetings. And so we ate there, and I got home, and I go to the counter, and my wife has Krispy Kremes on the counter. I said, really? She said, honey, it's a celebratory donut for you. So I had four. I'm trying to get them out of the house. Because after 2 days, they won't be that good. So I'm trying to get them out of the house. I believe I could probably finish them off tonight, and then we'll start tomorrow with a new set. The doing of the good is not. What's the next verse? Verse 19. That's pretty good, wasn't it? For the good that I want, I do not do. But I practice the very evil that I do not want to do. What I want to do, when I want to do is good, I don't, but I practice the very evil that I do not want. But if I am doing the very thing I do not want, I am no longer the one doing it, but sin that dwells in me. That sounds like our children, ain't it? I didn't do that. Verse 21 says, I find then the principle that evil is present in me, the one who wants to do good. For I joyfully concur with the law of God in the inner man. But I see a different law in the members of my body, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin which is in my members. Wretched man that I am, who will set me free from the body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord, so that on one hand I myself with my mind am serving the law of God, but on the other with my flesh the law of sin. You see, here's where it comes into. For years, and it's not that way anymore because we're not as conscious as we once was of the devil. Because we think that all dogs go to heaven. And they might, and we think that everybody who dies goes to heaven. And we think that God loves me too much to discipline me. No, that's a misnomer. He only disciplines those whom he loves. You know, why don't discipline other children? Because it wouldn't be, you know, you go to the Walmart and you see some child acting out and you want to tear their hide up. That usually is not love, that's just frustration. What I usually want to do is tear up the parents' hide. But you don't, because that's not love. So the person you love, you discipline. But Satan is not nearly concerned so much as driving us back as he is with containing you where you are. What do you mean by that, Pastor? You got to go. Unless you just want to continue to play, go ahead, I'm good. He wants to contain you where you are, which means that he doesn't want you to move any further. Because how many knows that not any of us, not one of us, is all that we're called to be yet? We're striving there, but we're not there yet. And so what the devil is not afraid of where you are. He's afraid of where you're headed. He's afraid of your potential. He's not afraid of where you've been or what you've come through. And you know, he can't help the fact that you came out of where you've been. He can't help the fact that you came this far, as far as you are. He can't help the fact that you're here, and he doesn't want you to stay there. But the main thing is he doesn't want you to go any further. He doesn't want you to move ahead in your walk with him, because he's trying to keep you from getting to where God wants you to go. Contain means to hold back, to control. He wants to contain you. The devil wants to control you. You know, the devil's not nearly as desirous to possess you as long as he can control you. Because possess you means that you've got to be in someone, but to control them, you just got to have influence over them. Oh, somebody hear me. There's a huge difference between possessing it and controlling it. Because, you know, all of us know somebody that they don't control, or they don't have the purse strings, but they control the purse strings. They don't have the money, but they control the money. They don't have the relationship, but they control the relationship. So the devil's really looking, or the devil's really concerned about containing you where you are. But the point number one is this, is that God's calling us to move forward. Amen. So how do we move forward, Pastor? Well, we're going to talk about it. But God is calling us to move forward. And I know Christians, and none of them are here tonight, of course. They'll be here Sunday. But I know Christians who have been at the same place in their life for 20 years. God's not looking for perfection, but he is looking for progression. Are you better today than you were then? And listen to me. And you know, and a lot of us saints who've been serving the Lord for a long time, I've been serving the Lord now 33 years. I got saved when I was 3. And so, but I've been serving the Lord for 33 years. And I know from experience that sometimes my zeal, my passion, my discipline begins to wane. And then when I realize that it is, and I do as Samson did and shake myself out of the rut, sometimes I knew not that the Spirit had departed. Sometimes I shake myself, and to get out of that rut or to get to go to make new advances, it is harder because inertia has set in and you've kind of settled in. Baby, when you're going through the mud, one of the key elements is don't stop. If you're going through loose sand, that one of the elements is don't stop. Keep it at a steady speed. Keep the accelerator where it needs to be. Now your wheels might spin, but you just keep moving at the same level and you're going to get through whatever you're going through. But that's what the devil don't want you to do. He wants you to stop where you are and say, this is all that God has for you. But my Bible tells me that eye hath not seen and ear hath not heard, neither has it entered the heart of man, the things that God has prepared for me. So anytime you start to move decisively forward, Satan increases his battle of containment on you. You ever made that decision? Man, I'm going to fast more. I'm going to pray more. I'm going to go to church more. And all hell breaks loose. Right? Why? Because containment. The devil goes, oh yeah? Try to do it like this. And he throw something on us or try to get us on something. You will find that usually the devil will let you continue on your current level for a while. You know, if you battle and you finally get there, here's the problem. We battle to get to a place and we're so tired that we just kind of, and then to get up and do anything else is just tough. How many know what I'm talking about? Maybe you ain't ever been that tired. I've been that tired recently. Where you sink into the couch and you just don't even want to go to bed. You're just like, leave me alone, cover me up. You know, just let me go. Change my name. My name ain't Mama. Come on. My name ain't Daddy. Yeah. I don't know where your mama is, baby, but he ain't here. Oh, I'm hungry. Oh, there's some crackers in there. Go ahead. Some peanut butter up in there. Anyway, peanut butter sustained you for many years. I can tell you that. Come on, Dave. But you'll find that as you begin to try to move beyond your current level, that the devil ups his attacks. He ups his containment. He ups his strength, trying to get you to stay where you are. And sometimes we don't even know that we're there until we try to leave there. Sometimes you don't even know that you're contained until you try to leave. You're walking around there talking about, I'm free, hallelujah, I'm free. You're dancing, you're shouting, you're bucking, you're jumping, you're singing. And then you try to go to another level and you're like, well, wait a minute. What is this? What is this? I didn't realize. What is this? Oh, it must be me. Oh, it must be the church. Oh, it must be the pastor. Oh, it must be my spouse. It's my crazy kids. It's my crazy aunt. No, no. It's the devil trying to keep you from going to a new level. Because here's what I also can tell you. At new levels comes new devils. Stuff you never even dealt with. You never even dealt with it. I go, I got to deal with this now. Because you're trying to get to another level, and the devil's trying to scare you, stop you, keep you, contain you where you are. Thank you. But as soon as you try to break into a new dimension of prayer, frequent distractions occur. Right? Oh, Pastor, that's not the devil. Well, who do you think it is? You think it's the Holy Spirit trying to keep you from His presence? It's the devil, man, trying to keep you from entering into a new place. You know, because there are stages of relationship, right? Some, you know, some we know each other by face, right? That's one stage. I mean, I think that's you, right? Yeah. What's your name? Allison? Ellen. I saw Ellen today at Home Depot, at Harbor Freight. I didn't know who she was. I just had to ask her name. I knew, I saw her face. But what really recognized it is I seen her, I love my church shirt. So I knew she was one of ours. Amen. So see, sometimes it's not that you're in a relationship, but there's something familiar about them, right? See, some of us, the Lord knows us because he cleansed us with his blood, and we're walking around with his blood, and so he knows us, but we're not in a relationship with him. And we want a God that we really don't know to take us to a new level. But if you will get into a relationship with him, when that door is shut and when that lock is there and when the containment there, the Holy Ghost just kicks open that door and says nobody, the Holy Ghost says nobody puts baby in a corner. Only people my age are going to understand that. So you achieve a certain walk. Then you stop growing. You don't especially go backwards. You just find it increasingly difficult to go forward. That's a hard place to be, especially if where you are is a decent place. It's easy to want to get out of a bad place. Oh, my God. You know, I've told this story a couple of times, but it fits so well. There was a, back years ago, they would dig the grave before the day of the funeral. And this old boy got drunk one day and he thought he would just walk through the cemetery to get through, to get to the other side, and he fell in the 6-foot hole and he just struggled and struggled trying to get out, but he couldn't. So he just settled off back over there in the corner and just thought he'd sleep it off till somebody come to help him. Well, another drunk decided he'd take a stroll too through the cemetery to take a shortcut home. Well, he fell in the same hole. And he struggled and struggled and struggled and struggled and struggled. And finally, a voice from the darkness said, "You can't get out of here." But he did. Because there was some more motivation getting him out of that. How many know what I'm talking about? Listen. Listen, I'm overweight. I know that. Don't say amen. I will sit on you. I'm overweight. I'm out of shape. But while we were up in Panama City, I was at my brother-in-law's house. You don't know about yourself. So I decided to go to the backyard for a reason. And it had like a 5-6 foot gate? Wasn't 6 foot, about 5 foot gate. Yeah, to you, as you could have like just stepped over it. I was thinking 6'5". But so it had like a 5-foot fence, and I walked through the gate. And now understand, I was attacked as a young boy by big dogs. All right, it was only one, but it was still big. And it was a police dog. So I walk in, and I get halfway around there, and two dogs come around there running, barking. So I didn't think, because I have cat-like reflexes. I spun around, ran and scaled the fence. Leaving the dogs to eat my dust. But in my excitement, I forgot I could have went through the gate. It was still open. So I scaled the fence. Come across, and then had to shut the gate before the dogs got out. See, it's the motivation. Now, normally, if you'd have said, "Man, go over that fence," I'd be like, "No, man, I got a gate right there." But then when the conditions were advantageous for me to get over that fence, shoot, man, y'all thought I was a pole vaulter. I got a big old bruise right here to prove it too, daggum. Matter of fact, old Big Jeremy said, "I didn't know you could move like that, Pastor." Float like a butterfly, sting like a bee, baby. But anyway, So that's what the devil does, though, is if it's a good place, you know, it goes back, it just goes back to if it's a good place, you're not as motivated to get out of that place. So, you know, as long as you go to church and tip God, sing a little bit. Well, you know, the music's got a good little beat. I mean, you know, you can't drop it like it's hot, but it's got a good little beat. And you're satisfied. But what I'm trying to do is get you unsatisfied, because I believe that God's got more for you. I believe that the devil is trying to contain you. And if you'll ever get outside of that containment field, that the devil ain't going to be able to handle you. And the devil knows that. So he's trying to stop you before you ever get to where he's called you to be. The enemy's trying to hold you back for what God has for you. He's trying to take you away from what God has for you. He knows he cannot stop God from getting to you. So he tries to make it as difficult as possible for you to get, not to God, but to his promises. Because if you think God's promises are not true, then you won't seek God. Am I making sense to you? So therefore we sit back, we kind of chill out. And then we talk to other Christians who they say the same thing as old married people does. Oh, well, it's normal. You know, you won't always be in love. And the Christians go, well, you know, you won't always have zeal. I can tell you, I've been saved for 33 years. And I'm as zealous today as I was the day I got saved, man. I got a little bit more wisdom, and I can't jump quite as high as I once could, and I can't do some of the things that I once could do, but I still got zeal for God because I know that God is still calling me. I've been pastoring for almost 30 years now, and I can tell you that God has called me to a higher level, and I'm not going to get stuck, and I'm not going to be contained. I'm going to be all that God's called me to be, and I believe that for you. So he knows he cannot stop you. So he tries to get you to, it tries to make it difficult for you to get to God's promises. It's one thing to say with your mouth you're going to move forward, but another thing to actually do it. See, some people get a case of do better. How many's ever heard a case of do better? I'm going to do better. I'm going to do better. And they try to be a better person or a better Christian and fail and then blame God for the failure. When the scripture clearly says that there's no good in me without him. Without him. I need him in my life to make the difference, guys. A Christian makes up their mind that they're going to make a difference and the bottom falls out. Know that the enemy is trying to contain you in your present condition. That's where he wants you to go. And what he wants you to do is remember what used to be. Oh man, I remember when God used to move in my life. I remember when we used to pray. No, no. It's not a yesteryear, it's a right now. It's a right now. God still moves today. God still is moving. Can I get a good amen? Making up your mind is the easy part. Going through with the plan is when the enemy attacks you to contain you. And here's why. You see, there is no strength. There is no strength in a rubber band until it's stretched. And that's where some of our containment is. There's no strength in it because you're not stretching against it. But man, you got to stretch it. You got to break out of your mold. Break out of your complacency. Break out of this will do. You know, the problem is a lot of, you know, I love Joshua and Caleb. Caleb is one of my most favorite characters in the Bible. And one of the reasons is I would like to think that he reminds me of me. Because he was one of the good, the two of the 12 spies, but he brought back a good report with Joshua. Joshua, when he was giving out land, he said, you tell me what you want there, bro. We've been through it. We were the only one 38 years. Yeah, bro. You tell me what you want and I'll give it to you. He goes, no, give me the land that Moses said I could have. He goes, no, man. No, listen, you're 85 years old now. That was 40 years ago. You were 45 then. He said, I am more than able to do what God called me to do. Even though I'm 85 years old, I can still do it. I want to have that kind of resolve to say, no matter my age or no matter what I've been through, I know that he who began a good work in me is able to keep it and complete it until I come into the fullness of what God said I could have. Well, glory. Now, here's the thing. God is trying to stretch some of us. Trying to get you to move on. Move beyond where you are. Now, here's a problem. I got to hit it. I'm conscious of this because we are Pentecostal. We are charismatic. We are full gospel. Blah, blah, blase, blase. But I'm conscious and cognizant of the fact when you tell people that God wants to go beyond, you run a risk of people getting weird. Because what they can't get, what, you know, everybody's look, or if you're not careful, you'll start looking for a new revelation. That's how some of these weird doctrines get started. They start looking for a new revelation. Baby, I just want you to do what the revelation you already got. That's pretty clear from the Bible. But I'm telling you that God wants us to do more, be more, because we, you know, like the army, baby, be all you can be. God wants to use you in a great way. I'm not talking about you might not ever speak to stadium fools. You might not ever speak to room fools. But if you can speak to that one person on the job, about your neighbor, if you can change their life, then honey, their lives will be forever changed. Point two is this. In order to not be contained, you got to know the truth. The truth. Not deception. Not some people's opinions. You need to know the truth. Here's what one of the primary deceptions of the believer is that the Bible says, not one of them, but there's quite a few of them, but one of the primary ones is that you shall know the truth and the truth shall set you free. John chapter 8 verse 32. Now I used to quote that all the time. Oh, you'll know the truth and the truth will make you free. Or the truth will set you free. No, that's not really what it says. I'm going to read it to you. And ye shall know the truth and the truth shall make you free. Now set you free. Now I don't know if you saw that. It's the truth that you know. The truth that you know can set you free is the truth that you personally know. The only truth that can set you free is the truth that you personally know. Did you catch it? Let me say it this way. It is the truth you know that has the divine power to set you free. Well, Pastor, truth sets you free. No, the truth is always present. But until you have personal knowledge of that truth, then it's not going to change your outlook or your outcome. It's not going to change the way you walk unless you know it's truth. Most of us only fulfill the scriptures that we truly believe. If this mic wasn't so expensive, I'd just drop it and walk away. We only fulfill the scriptures we really believe. The presence of truth does not bring victory from bondage. No. You know, you might have I had this, it's silly, but it makes, and to me it makes sense, because it's silly. How many's ever heard of Dropbox? You know, if you're computer savvy at all, you know that. Well, they give you a certain amount of storage for Dropbox, 3 gigs. Well, years ago, if you would recommend Dropbox to people, they'd give you more and more. I was up to 18 gigs of Dropbox. Because, you know, you can get like 100 gigs, but you just pay like, was it $100 a year or something like that? So, you know, I don't like that. I don't like paying $100 worth of storage. So I was up to 18 gigs. Well, I changed my email, and over the years it's changed. And then Dropbox had a safety deal. And I wrote them. I said, hey, I can't get into my Dropbox. They said, go check your email. Well, I checked the email that was with it, which was like 5 years ago, which meant I couldn't get in it because I don't have access to that email anymore because that email is no more. And I tried to explain it to them. They thought I was lying. Can you believe that? So what I'm saying is I have all of these files that are really good files, but I don't have access to it. So those files do me no good, even though they're just sitting right there. Just right. But I can't physically, I can't get to it. So it doesn't matter that it's present. It does me no good because I don't know how to access it now. Or because I did not read all of my emails, and I didn't do what was right, which was change my emails, I don't have access to it, even though it's there. And the truth is, it's mine. Are you getting it? God is saying, this is yours. You just got to access it. Well, God, I'm trying. Not the right way. You can't access it just because you want it. I mean, I try telling the people, listen, I got 30 years of sermons on that thing. Can I get to it? Nope. Woo. I'm telling you right now, I did some Christian cussing. Well, you're just selfish. That's what it is. You're just selfish. Well, bless your heart. Y'all know what I'm talking about. May the Lord be with you. Oh, yeah, you heard me. Yeah, baby. You know, stuff you say that you don't really mean. Well, bless your heart. Then I said a few things I did mean. May 1,000 fleas find their home under your armpit. Now, the presence of truth does not bring victory from bondage. It's not the presence of truth, but the personal knowledge of truth. That God will do what he said he would do. And you know it to be true and factual. I believe that God will do what he said he would do, and I know it to be truth and factual. That's the truth that's going to make you free. Because once you understand that freedom, once you understand that I have the capacity, I have the right. You know, most people don't know the rights, right? But once you know your rights and you start quoting what the book says, or take it, bring it down. You start quoting your civil rights. You start quoting where it's at. All of a sudden, people are like, oh, okay, because they don't know what the rights is either. They just know what they're supposed to do or what they said they could do, right? All right, let me give you some instances. Point number three is this, instances. In the book of Exodus, chapter 8, you can write these down, and I'll be gone by the time you're there probably. Pharaoh tried to contain the children of Israel. In the book of Exodus, chapter 8, verse 25 through 27, Moses has seen God. God told Moses, go back, set my people free. He said, well, how am I going to do that? He said, you go to Pharaoh, you tell Pharaoh that your Lord and your God said to let him go. Well, Pharaoh said in earlier chapters when Moses told that, he goes, I don't know your God. Why should I obey him? I don't even know him. I had some church members say that. But anyway. And then in verses 8, 25 through 27, here's what Pharaoh said. He said, I'll tell you what. I'll let you worship. Just do it here in Egypt. Let that sink in. I'll let you worship, just don't change locations where you live. Don't change locations where you operate. Just stay here in bondage and worship. And there are Christians that come in here every week and worship, but are bound. Because they're worshiping, they made a deal. You don't openly make a deal. You know, if you do, you're pretty stupid. But you make a deal with the devil. All right, well, you know, as long as you don't mess with me, I won't mess with you. I won't try to get beyond where I am. I won't witness to nobody. I'm not going to pray. I'm not going to tithe. I'm not going to get involved. I'm not going to serve. I'll just worship, but still be in bondage. And I'll get a reprieve during the worship. I'll feel good, but I won't be changed. Because my location will still be the same. Because I've learned to worship from prison. I've learned to worship from Egypt. And so I come to church. Yeah, it's getting a little quiet, everyone. I come to church, and I get my fix, and I'm like an addict that I can't wait to get my next fix. And so I need to be at church. Why? Because I live. And listen, I believe in being in church, and you need to be in church. But you come just to get a fix. Because any other day, you're not free. So then he goes, that's in verses 25 and 27. Then Exodus 28, he says, I'll tell you what. All right. Pharaoh says, all right. Listen, go and worship, just don't go very far. Don't go too far. And so now we come to church and we go a little bit further, but we have to keep asking, is this too far? Is this too far? And then our friends say, now wait a minute, you're going a little too far now. Our friends say, oh, now you're getting a little radical. I saw you carped at that Crystal River Church of God. You know we don't do all that. Right? Uh-huh. Come on, somebody. You used to sit in the overflow, now you're moving a little closer. Now all that ain't necessary. You don't need to do that. Go ahead and worship, but just don't go too far. Go ahead and stretch out. But now listen, hey, wait a minute. Now worship, but let's don't start paying tithes. Worship, but hey, man, you don't got to get involved. Come on, worship, but don't start reading your Bible. Just go and read when the pastor reads or read off the screen. And don't really start reading your Bible because you don't need to do all that. Just go, but don't go too far. Moses kept going, no, man, we're not settling for that. We're not going to settle for that. Thank God. Then he goes, then in chapter 10, verse 7, here's what he makes another compromise. I preach a whole message on this little part here, but I don't have time to preach that. He said, Pharaoh said, go, but just let the men go. Just let the men go that they may serve the Lord, but you ain't got to go. Just stay here with us. And he said, and here's what Moses said, and you've heard me say it. If you don't know where I get it from, here's where I said it. Here's where I get it. He said, and Moses said, we will go with our young and our old, with our sons and our daughters, with our flocks and our herds, we will go, for we must hold a feast to the Lord. Then he said, the Lord had better be with you when I let you and your little ones go. Beware that where evil is ahead of you. Now, I'm going to give you the verse. I'm going to give you what I'm talking about here in a moment. So he says, worship, but just don't get your family. Don't get all radical. Don't get your family wrapped up in that stuff. You can go worship. You can go serve the Lord. But let's not get crazy. You know, you can't get fanatical. And you remember what a fanatic is? A fanatic is somebody who believes in something more than you. That's a fanatic. All right, now here we go. Here's what he says then. At last, plagues come. I don't remember which plague we would be on, but plagues come in chapter 10. They're on their ninth plague, darkness. And then here's what Pharaoh says in verse 24. Go, serve the Lord only. Let your flocks and your herds be kept back. Let your little ones also go with you. All right, I'm tired of dealing with you. You take everything. Just leave your herds. Leave your possessions. And then here's what, verse 26. You've heard me say this. I love what Moses said. Here's what he said, man. He said, our livestock also shall go with us. Not a hoof shall be left behind. He said, man, we ain't even leaving a hoof behind. I mean, I'm telling you, that's original gangster right there. I mean, he just went up and said, bro, not even a hoof gonna be left behind, bro. Not even a hoof. But see, here's what the devil says, all right? So the devil goes, okay, get free, but don't get your finances free, your possessions. But now listen to me. I got to hurry, man. I really thought I'd be done real quick. Yeah, I don't know why I thought that, but anyway, I did. I didn't have a lot of notes, but anyway. So here's what the deal is. Pharaoh was saying, go and sacrifice, but don't take anything in order to sacrifice. See, the devil's trying to keep you from going or coming out with the very thing that you need in order to worship. He said, go, but leave all your possessions. You know, we tell people, I tell young pastors, I said, don't get nervous. I said, when people get saved, it takes another 6 months for their wallet to get saved. And some people longer. And I know a few, I don't think their wallet ever got saved. But anyway, let me move on. All right? So, but he's saying, go, but just leave everything you love. Well, he knows this. There's no way you're going to be able to worship with everything that you love still in bondage. So that's why I love Moses. He said, not even a hoof is going to be left behind, baby. He said, when I come out, I'm coming out with everything. I'm coming out with my children. I'm coming out with my flocks. I'm coming out with my possessions. I'm coming out with my sons and my daughters. I'm coming out with my wife. I'm coming out. You look at somebody and tell them, I'm coming out tonight. I'm not going to wait for everything to be conducive. I'm coming out in the name of Jesus. I'm not staying where I've always been. All right. Let me give you number four and I'm done. Point number four is this. The reason for containment. Why does he want to contain it? Here's the reason. Are you ready? Joshua chapter 3, verse 15. I'm going to read it to you. And as they that bear the ark were come unto Jordan, and the feet of the priests that bear the ark were dipped in the brim of the water, for Jordan overfloweth all his banks all the time of harvest. Now, what does that mean, Pastor? You may think that in your battle that the Jordan River, the thing that you're trying to cross, that thing that you're trying to get over, is overflowing. But our text says anytime that the Jordan is overflowing, it means it's harvest time. So man, at your worst fight, that means the devil's fighting you because harvest time is there. The devil's trying to stop you from getting to the harvest. You've already planted. You've already prayed, but now he's just trying to get you not to get to the harvest. And how many knows that there is a season, there is a timing that you cannot leave the harvest in the field, because if you leave the harvest in the field, the harvest rots and it's no good. So the devil's trying to keep you from getting to that harvest, because he knows that if you get to the harvest, it's going to change your life. Come on, stand to your feet tonight.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope you are blessed by listening to this message and invite you to join us at our Crystal River campus. We meet for service on Sundays at 8:30 a.m. and 11 a.m. Our midweek service and youth service is on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. We're located at 2180 Northwest 12th Avenue in Crystal River, Florida.